A very good day, good listener, and thank you so much as always for clicking on this podcast and this particular episode of Joe Blogs About Films, whether you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener. Like I state on every episode, it means the world. Thank you so much for clicking, for spinning, for sharing, whatever it is. I really do appreciate all your support. Now, with the approach of Halloween and all things spooky, there's a ton of releases within film and TV that we can all enjoy. I don't think there's been a year that I can remember where I haven't watched a Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episode. It's become practically religious now. But each year, I try to revisit a flick that I haven't caught in some time, and that tradition has continued this year as I sat down to watch Hugh Jackman star in the action gothic horror Van Helsing. Now, Van Helsing is a film that I was quite the fan of growing up. Releasing in 2004, it was prime viewing age for dabbling into new territory and having my own first real introduction to the likes of Dracula, Wolfman, and Frankenstein's monster. These characters are, of course, ones that we're all accustomed to, you know, when growing up, even if we hadn't seen any of those original films that included them. Though Van Helsing isn't one that gets too dark or mature with its content, you know, keeping things light and PG-13, it still delivers some pretty gripping and entertaining spectacles, and it's one that, even for 2004, still looks impressive today. Director Stephen Sommers, fresh off the back of The Mummy and The Mummy Returns, both huge hits for Universal, was undoubtedly the perfect match for bringing these classic monsters into a new, reinvented story that saw them face off against the infamous monster hunter that's Van Helsing. It's clear that Universal wanted to somewhat replicate what Summers achieved and created with those Mummy films, as Van Helsing certainly has the action-adventure feel, only this time it's in a gothic setting, whilst also, you know, sprinkling in a few beats of comedy here and there. It's what makes these kind of films work, really. It's essentially a mixing bowl of everything that you come to expect in a blockbuster, especially in the early 2000s. And if we're going to go by the box office figures, then Van Helsing was a success, you know, grossing $300 million on a $160 to $170 million budget. It certainly earned enough to get itself a sequel, something Universal were hoping for, but it absolutely bombed critically, and that is a real shame. It's flawed, don't get me wrong, I couldn't tell you the last time I've watched it until now. I mean, it's pushing 10 years easily, but seeing that it was set to leave Netflix soon, I took it as a sign that perhaps this should be the one to revisit for Halloween, and I did have a great time with it, even if the film's script felt a little bloated. It's certainly one where the first half of the film is excellent on all fronts, whereas the second half never quite reached as the heights delivered in that first half of the film. My overall thoughts are that whilst the film is enthralling as an action horror, the story gets a little convoluted in places, which did dampen my experience and found myself a little taken out of the film. It is one, though, that has some stunningly gloomy sets and locations, most of which were created and built for the production, and this genuinely lifts the scenes massively. In terms of world building, Van Helsing has you covered, and the action that takes place on these sets are pretty terrific. But I think what's most impressive is when you have all these monsters to tussle with, it could easily consume the movie and take the film away from its lead. But Hugh Jackman, as the title character, carries so much aura and screen presence that he's never outshined by any of the supporting casting characters. Obviously, Jackman is a pretty big household name, and we know his talent and range, but Van Helsing was in between X-Men 1 and 2, and so his breakout into Hollywood was only really beginning. And I think Van Helsing, again, was a top display from what would become April actor with tremendous skills. That's not me saying that Van Helsing is the reason he has so much stardom, because it really isn't, but he is perfectly cast in this role, even if at times it does feel like Wolverine in a leather jacket and hat. Though the film has its critics, I still stand by that Van Helsing is a thrill ride worth jumping on every now and then. Even though the action is relentless, it's a film that is pure escapism, whilst delivering some sheer thrills and action pockets that leave you replaying them in your head after viewing. But before I proceed any further, just another big thank you for clicking and spinning this episode and podcast. If you like what you hear and haven't done so already, please hit the follow and notification button on the streaming app of your choice. That way, you will never miss a beat and be updated with new episodes that are uploaded. Also, jump over to Facebook and Instagram, search Joe Blogs About Films, give us a like and follow on there, and finally, rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, etc., etc. It helps a lot, it means a lot, and once again, a massive thank you for all your support. The famed monster hunter Van Helsing is sent to Transylvania to stop Count Dracula, who is using Dr. Frankenstein's research and a werewolf for nefarious purposes. I still find it baffling that we never got any more Van Helsing movies when all is said and done. I guess that is probably the nostalgia talking, because as a kid you don't really see nor understand the reasoning behind a film's unsuccess, we should say, which again is strange saying that it wasn't a success when it earned as much as it did. But when you watch the film with older and a little bit more jaded eyes, you still can't quite work out why this film never got a sequel. I reiterate that the film is bloated and over convoluted with its lore and story, but there's still a pretty entertaining action horror movie in there. I think as well, for a film that was released in 2000,
2004. The special effects in here hold up quite well. Another example of when CGI was taken with great care and looked dazzling in the early 2000s. Sure, you know, some pockets aren't as strong, but you look at the transformation scenes for monsters such as, you know, the werewolf or Dracula himself, and it's hard not to, like, nod in approval. There's a great mix here as well of practical and special effects, like a clear effort to bring in the story and world to life through these large physical set locations that allows its viewer to be fully transported into this gothic tale. Van Helsing is pretty much everything that a young kid in those early 2000s was looking for in an action film. And not to repeat myself, it was probably the first, like, proper introduction for a lot of kids similar to my age to the likes of Dracula, you know, outside of what we knew about them before. Only in Van Helsing, things are shaken up a bit in terms of the story and the motivation for Dracula, which allows for a more compelling and edge-of-your-seat watch. In essence, Van Helsing is someone that was sent to Earth by God to protect the world from its monsters, some of which we see in this outing. Van Helsing has been walking the Earth for thousands and thousands of years, you know, fighting in many different battles, all for that same purpose of serving God and cleansing the Earth of its demons. Working with the Knights of the Holy Order, that's a secret organization that, you know, works within monster hunting, Van Helsing's journey brings him to Transylvania, where he then teams up with Kate Beckinsale's Anna Valerius, a character who's got her own mission to stop and slay Dracula in order for her bloodline and deceased family members to enter heaven following a promise that her ancestors made so many years ago. Should Anna fail and die before Dracula is slayed, she and the rest of her family will then be stuck in purgatory forever, never entering the gates of heaven. All the while this is occurring, Dracula is using Dr. Frankenstein's research and work to bring his demon babies to life. Now, me saying this sounds semi-straightforward, but I am not kidding. The film makes you work for it in a lot of cases. As a kid, I never really followed the story all that much. It was just Van Helsing and Anna working to kill Dracula. The nitty-gritty wasn't on my full radar, per se, but there's a lot more within the film on top of what I've already said, which is where it can feel a little over-facing. You've got the Frankenstein monster in here as well. You know, we've got Dracula that's got some holding and power over werewolves, and then the very attractive trio of wives that Dracula has that are causing all sorts of extra problems for our lead heroes, you know. So to say there's a lot going off is a bit of an understatement, but there's still so much to be impressed with by the film. I in particular love the opening with Mr. Hyde in France. In fact, it's probably up there as the best sequence of the film, really, aside from that first action pocket in Transylvania. But with Mr. Hyde, that sequence really brought a great balance of action and stellar dialogue between Van Helsing and he that it instantly gets you excited for what else is to come within this monstrous world. Added as well that Mr. Hyde is voiced by the late and great Robbie Coltrane only makes this whole sequence that much sweeter. Even the film's opening prior to this is genuinely terrific. Like, it's a perfect example of giving the audience the right amount of monster reveals without actually revealing them fully. I find the use of the shadows in this sequence within Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory highly impressive. There's three or four moments in which we get to see the monster's silhouettes on the wall, you know, be that Dracula killing Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster throwing equipment at Dracula or the first semi-reveal of Dracula taking his hell bat form, you know, all done superbly with the use of shadows. Less is more, as we say, and this scene really encapsulates that, as it leaves such an intrigue and excitement to actually seeing these monsters properly, you know, later down the line. I think in terms of physical and special effects, it doesn't get better than the Transylvania sequence in which Van Helsing meets Anna for the first time. Though the sequence wasn't filmed in Transylvania itself, it's brought to life by the creepy setting and use of smoke or fog, as well as the colour palette almost being drained of anything vibrant, giving that cold feel to the entire setting. I love how the entire set was designed with a slightly twisted German expressionist feel. It's a very hyper-real set in which the production team stated it felt very Whovian due to the shapes of the buildings, which only works in the film's favour of immersing its audience in this world and setting. And it makes for such an epic action sequence where we have Anna and Van Helsing trying to take down the three wives of Dracula, you know, succeeding in killing one, but equally leaving a mark on their backs for an attack in retaliation. Genuinely love everything about this sequence, and of course, you know, we get Van Helsing using his crossbow repeater for the first time, which was just the coolest design for a weapon. But moving away from the action just for a smidge, which seems daft considering the entire film really is wall-to-wall action, I feel the dynamic and relationship between Jackman and Beckinsale in this one it's okay. It's maybe a little wooden, dare I say, in places, but I think there's enough in their performances to sell to the audience the stakes that are at play here. No pun intended. There's that typical friction between the two to start with, you know, she feeling that she doesn't need any help in stopping Dracula, when in fact, she probably could do with it considering that she is now the last descendant of a bloodline to be able to get them all into heaven. But naturally, this blossoms into something more due to that team-up and desire to stop and kill Dracula. Kate Beckinsale is a terrific performer, responsible for one of my favourite vampire characters through her role in Underworld, so there was never any concern that she would be like a damsel in this film and would have strength and the fight within her to hold her own in these battles against the supernatural. natural. The bond between the two only grows stronger, which is why it makes the ending and ultimate demise of Anna that more heartbreaking for Van Helsing as well as the audience watching. I do feel that it was maybe a little harsh and quick, in which she was taken out by Van Helsing's werewolf form, a sacrifice that Anna herself made to save Van Helsing following Dracula's demise. But on the other hand, it works in delivering a lovely moment where we see right at the end, you know, her spirit as well as her family's all enter heaven, having been stuck in limbo for years and years. I do think they still could have, you know, let a character live at the end, but the loss is another part of what makes Van Helsing who he is, really, and probably would have had a lasting impact on him should they have progressed further and greenlit a sequel. Now, a couple of other positives for me with Van Helsing is the epic score from Alan Silvestri. It's one that really does fill out the action with its huge use of loud brass and heavy percussion, as well as giving Van Helsing a terrific piece of theme composition in which it really does have that swashbuckling and cowboy feel that elevates that sense of adventure within the film. It does hark back to the likes of The Mummy Returns, as well as even Pirates of the Caribbean, a film that Silvestri was originally set to score, so you can certainly see where he would have probably gone with that score for that one. I also think that the werewolf transformation in here are arguably the best design for any werewolf I've ever seen. The way in which a person would tear at their skin and the wolf would break out the way that it did felt so raw and unnerving, and only heightened the idea and theme of a monster within. It looked awesome, and again, it's down to the excellent work that the team did with the special effects. In addition, I love all of the bride's designs in this one, like in particular how they would transform back and forth from their monster form, that their wings would turn into their like flowing fabrics like silk. It's another design that I think was well thought out, and again, only works because the special effects are so impressive and hold up very, very well. I also appreciate how there's like a little bit of ambiguity for how Van Helsing and Dracula know each other and for how long. There's never any cut and dry explanation as to what exactly went off between the two, and that made their interactions that much more compelling, I found. I do rate Richard Roxburgh in the role as Dracula. Like, I quite like that the guy's got such a range, like he could go from being cold and calm-mannered to exploding with rage in an instance. Another one that worked well opposite Jackman, like you never knew which way their conversations would go or what was to be revealed, and it made Dracula just a little more three-dimensional as opposed to just being a bad guy wanting to spawn a lot of weird baby bat things. The final thing that also I want to give props to is David Wenham as Carl, that's the Friar of the Holy Order, a terrific little light-hearted role that brings in the chuckles to brighten a very dark and gloomy film. His character's given one of my favourite lines in a film when questioning, why does it smell like wet dog in here, following a werewolf attack? Now, any excuse to throw that line out there, I will take that opportunity. Overall though, I think Van Helsing is a fun monster flick that does deliver on epic spectacles and grand sets that fully transport and immerse its audience within its world. There's elements of the film where you can see its flaws are staring at you right in the face, and at times it doesn't know what to do with its grand list of characters and monsters. Some parts are short-lived and underwhelming, other parts are straight up terrific and pleasing beyond. But even with all of this like mixed bag, this, that and the other, I still think it's pretty great, and I'm so glad that I did check it out once again. I'm going to give this a 7.5 out of 10. It's a perfect, easy watch and choice really for Halloween, but I know there's a ton of others out there, but if you've not watched Van Helsing in such a long time, do check it out and then get back in touch and let me know what your thoughts are on reflection. Final thing as well, does anybody else remember the Van Helsing game? Because that was great. That was really, really great. As always though, a massive thank you for your support. I'll be back with more reviews. Keep in touch on all the social media pages, this and that. It really is appreciated. Until the next episode, take care.